Well, that's better than the alternative. Amen. You know, in a week's time, there's so many things that can go on in a week. There are life-altering situations that we go through sometimes in a week. Sometimes we set out just to have an ordinary day, and something happened, and it maybe turned the course of our life. I don't know what you came in here with this morning, or maybe there's just some things bothering you. I'm going to ask you right now to check those in right now. God, in Jesus' name, all over the place this morning. God, for even the people that are watching on Facebook Live right now, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over them right now and over their families, over their lives, God, over their health right now. And God, I ask you right now to meet them exactly where they're at. And God, you are the only one that knows exactly where we're at this morning. And Lord, I thank you that as we get into the Word, God, that the Word gets into us. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to live out the sermon that is going to be preached this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you, if you have a cell phone, to put that on silent or vibrate. If you have a child that becomes restless, you have a couple options. You can take them in the classroom, or you can take them in this room over here. And if you become restless, we will dismiss at 12 o'clock. Hey, look, I know what it's like. I was a kid, and I used to sit and just look at that clock and pray to God whoever was preaching was going to be short and sweet. And if we ever had a guest speaker, I would stand at that door, and I'd greet them, and I'd say, now come here, is this service going to be short and sweet? Because that's what we're hoping for, you know. And we had some people where they like to preach, we used to have watch night services, and we just stay here all night. And I laugh at that now, because we can barely get people to come to church once a week and not be mad about it. So anyways, we're going to go to the Word this morning. And I saw a meme. How many of you know what a meme is? Okay, for those of you that don't know what a meme is, it's something that when you're on social media or you're scrolling Facebook, there's either a picture of something or there's like a little saying or something. So I saw a meme today, this week, and the meme said this: teach your heart to accept disappointments even from the people that you love. I'm going to say that one more time. Let it sink in. Teach your heart to accept disappointments, even from the people that you love. Now, one of the things that I see go on far too often is when the believer gets disappointed in someone and they don't handle that disappointment correctly. And then as a result of that, the relationship that took place in doesn't go real great. So go with me now to 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to begin to read at verse 1. And I wanted to minister to you this point early on in this message. Your disappointment is going to turn into something. Your disappointment is going to turn into something. It's either going to turn into an opportunity for you to grow and be able to accept and understand that at times people will disappoint you, and many times that disappointment is going to come from the people that you love the most, or maybe the people that you think very highly of. But at some point, you're going to have disappointment. And that disappointment is going to turn into something. It will turn into a disaster if you don't keep it in check. Many times our wrong actions really started with a disappointment that we had in another person. And because we didn't know what to do with that disappointment, we handled it wrongly. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. I'm going to begin to read. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Now God will give you details in your life. God is the God of detail. And when he gives you instruction, not only will he give you instruction, but he will give you detailed instruction. And sometimes people want to not pay attention to the littlest detail that God told you, but it's the little details that are going to mean the most for your situation. So here's the Lord, and he was speaking through Samuel, and he said, you tell Saul to totally destroy them completely, 100%. Destroy everything that belongs to them and every part of the Amalekites. I want it destroyed. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. So Saul summoned the men and mustered them up at Telem, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, go away, leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them, for you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. And all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. So here we see a direct command that is given to Saul, destroy everything. And we see Saul began to pick and choose what instructions that he was going to follow. Now, many times that's us. God will give us specific instructions. We then will want to pick and choose who and what we are going to do with those instructions. That never goes right. If God said do such and such, that don't mean do one or the other. That means do all of what he said to do. But Saul kept the king, and he kept everything that was good, all the fat animals that were real pretty and they were going to eat good, he kept those. That wasn't what he was supposed to do. And he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak they totally destroyed. Verse 10, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. Now, I say in, I think, every sermon that I've preached since I've become a pastor, I have said, get into the Word. Because the Word is living and it's active. And when you get into the Word is going to get into you. When you get into the Word, the Word is going to get into you. And we see that right here because it says, then the Word of the Lord came to Samuel. When you decide that you are going to get into the Word, when the worst thing happens to you in your life and you think, how can I go on? Because you've put the Word inside of you, that part of the Word that says you've got victory no matter what, that's going to that part of your life that seems like it's so broken. When you get the worst report from the doctor that you've ever had, because you've put the Word of God in your heart that says, by His stripes we are healed. Because you've put that inside of you, that part of the Word is going to that part of your life that's not in a good standing. That is why it's important to get the Word of God inside of your heart, because it is living and because it is active. When you put the Word in there, that Word is going to go to what's not going right in your life. And it says here, then the Word of the Lord came to Samuel. And here's God. I am grieved or disappointed or regret. I am grieved that I have made Saul the king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instruction. And Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Now, I took you to this place because I want to explain this right here. We were made in the image of God and in his likeness. That means we are his and we are like him. We were made in his image. When we feel things, you need to understand that the one that created you, he knows how you feel because we were made like him. Here's God the Father saying, I am grieved and I am disappointed that I made Saul the king. Now, there are going to be things in your life and people in your life that you get disappointed in. And your disappointment, it will turn into something. And what you don't want it turning into is a disaster. And it can. It can. So many times in life, we are taking everything too personal. Too personal. How many of you can admit, I take things a little too personal? Okay. Sometimes we are disappointed in life because we are taking things that really don't even have to do with us, and we are taking them internally, and we are absorbing them, and we are taking things too personal. And because of that, we're disappointed all the time. I also want to tell you that a sure way to get yourself disappointed is when you dare to expect you out of everybody else. People always say, I would never do that. We get real self-righteous. Well, I would never have said that. I would never have done that. I would never have done that dumb thing. I would have never made that mistake. No, honey, but you've made plenty of other ones. Disappointment is going to come, but look here. Stop taking everything so personally. So personally. I remember in the very early years of pastoring, when I would see on Facebook people bashing churches, it didn't even have to be my church that they bashed. I would take that personal. Oh, the church hurt me and the churches are terrible and I'll never step foot in the church door. Well, look here. Most of the time they weren't talking about this church, but I took it personal. You can wound your own self just by taking on disappointments and taking things too personally. A lot of the wounds that we have, we help get those wounds to our own selves. So we see God here is disappointed. God here is grieved. Go with me now to Jeremiah chapter 29. We are going to look at verse 11 through 14. You have to learn how to deal with the disappointment that you have, because if you don't, that disappointment is going to deal with you. If you don't deal with the disappointment, that disappointment is going to deal with you. How does it do that? Well, kind of looks something like this. We get disappointed in something, or we get disappointed in somebody, and now, I've been saved since I was 7 years old, so I've been saved for 32 years, and I don't like the feeling of disappointment, so a lot of times what I try to do is if I know that something's going to disappoint me, I will start getting ahead of that, and I will say, no, I'm not going to take that personally. No, I'm not. I'm going to choose not to be disappointed. And I start resisting that disappointment or that offense, but here's how you give into it. You know it's going to be a disappointment to you, and we're trying our best to not be disappointed, so we're resisting that, and we're shoving that away from us. But then it keeps coming to our mind. Have you ever been on the computer and these boxes keep coming up, notifications, and as quick as you click the X box, there's more keep coming up. That's how your brain is. And unless you're willing to click that X a lot during the day, that thought is going to get in your mind and it's going to manifest until you're in a full-blown, disappointed, mad at life and mad at that person episode. And from there comes in that rush of just madness, irritation, anger, grief, disappointment. So a lot of times, I can tell you this from personal experience. A lot of times we are disappointed in people because they've done or said something that was not in our plan for them. Many times we are disappointed. And I'm going to speak to the parents right now of the adult children. And we're going to do a series on this. And the relationship between an adult child and the parent is so complex that those relationships are very hard to cultivate and maintain. Because at the end of the day, you can't make your grown kid do nothing. And then that grown kid is over here and they're saying, I want to be able to stand on my own two feet. My parents keep interfering. They this and they that. There's two sides of that. Now, we are going to do a series on those messages. If you have a question, how do I get my overbearing parent to stop? Or how do I this? Or how do I that? How do I get my dumb grown kid to just stop their nonsense? They're 40 years old and they're still asking me for money and to pay their bills. How do I love my grown kid when I don't agree with what their decisions that they've made? See, all of that stuff, that's found in the Word. If you've got any questions from any aspect of that, we're going to leave this paper, these papers up here. You do not have to sign your name. We will address every question that is put there. But with your grown children, what I can say is this right here. Many, many times we are disappointed in people because they haven't lived up and lived out the plan that we had for them. Now, we can barely hold our own plans together most of the time. And we got no business planning out other people's lives for them and then have the audacity to get mad at them when they don't do what we thought that they should do. That is setting ourselves up for disappointment. The Word of God and God's promises are for everyone. Do we all agree? Are the promises just for the pastor? Absolutely not. And most of the time, God has called your pastor, and that pastor is probably one of the hardest people in the world to deal with. But they're also a big fat blabbermouth, and that's why God called them. But never look at your pastor as perfect, because we're not. We're very far from it. We're probably the most messed up ones in the bunch. But we are honest, and we will keep it real. But the Word of God is for everyone. And I want to challenge you today to do something that God's kind of challenged me to do. The Word of God and all of its promises are for each one of us. Now, let's just say, scenario, I am very disappointed in Frank. Okay? He's the best husband ever. He really is, and he puts up with a lot of my shenanigans. But let's just say I'm disappointed in him. Now, let me tell you something that's not effective when you're disappointed in somebody, and I've done it, and I've done it just this week. But when you're disappointed in something, the worst thing that you can do is give that person the silent treatment just to show them just how disgusted and disappointed you really are. Now, how many of us, that's our go-to? Okay, stop doing that. It doesn't work. It just puts in a wedge there. Okay, so if I'm disappointed in him, here I am, and I believe the word. I've put the word in me, so why can I not believe the word for him? What does the word say? Well, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Now, when you're disappointed in someone and you're disappointed in them because they didn't do what you thought that they should do or they didn't do what you planned for them to do, challenge yourself to believe the word of God for them. Amen. God, I know that you know the plans that you've got for Frank. So, Lord, instead of letting my disappointment grow and fester, I'm going to stand on your word that you know exactly what you're doing with him. See, when you're disappointed in somebody, maybe you're disappointed in your grown kids. Maybe you're disappointed in your boss. Maybe you're disappointed in your husband, your wife, whatever the case may be. If you're so saved, you need to believe the word for other people. And what does that word say? That God knows the plans that he has for each one of us. Challenge yourself to believe that for the people that you're disappointed in when they do something that you don't agree with. Am I saying that you have to lap up every ridiculous thing that people do? No. But I'm saying what you can't do is walk around and wallow in the disappointment that you have for them. Why? Because that's going to bring you down. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. See, it's harder to believe the word for somebody when they've hacked you off. The other day, it was on a Wednesday. Well, let's back up. Monday morning, I said, Frank, we're going to do our devotions. I got two devotions out for us. I read them. We were praying together. And I knew that it was going to be one heck of a day because both of those devotionals were on keeping your joy and your peace. And I said, Frank, today is going to be challenging because both of these devotionals are on the same thing, and that just can only mean that the devil has got some catastrophe or irritation planned that is going to try to steal our joy and try to steal our peace. Well, sure enough, that's what happened. And I've been with God long enough to know he tries to get you prepared for these things. So I was saying my devotionals in my mind, and we went to the post office. We went to check the mail. I got a 3-page griping out letter. Not from anybody in here, because I'd be seeing you privately if so, but got a 3-page letter, Warren, and somebody just griping me out from one end and down the other. And I started getting irritated and disappointed in all humanity for all of it. And I'm about 1.5 pages into this nonsense, and Frank takes the letter, shoves it in the door, wads it up, puts it in the door, and he said, we're not doing this because we've already put it inside of our heart that we're not letting anything steal our joy, and we're not letting anything steal our peace, and you're not reading any more of that because all it is just from the pits of hell going to try to get you in that mood where you can't serve them elderly like you want to. Amen. Now, you have an opportunity to be disappointed, and you need to make the decision to not get there. Well, I read just enough of it to know exactly who it was from. So come Wednesday morning, Jim is one of the most calmest people that I know. It's that cop background, and him and Jen are so good together because they're very stable. You get somebody very wild like me, and that's why we're very close, because they can calm me down real bit. And I said, Jim, I got a griping out letter, blah, 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 blah. And I begin to tell him, he goes, those people are the first ones in line. And I sat there, and I just stewed Bobby all the way from Scranton to Paris on just exactly how I was going to handle them folks. And I got something called a healthy fear of God. And I said, Lord, I will not allow this to go any further. And I am not going to let two people get me to where I'm so disappointed and I feel like all of Logan County does not appreciate what's going on. Because the majority of them do appreciate it. But see, you've got a choice to make. Are you going to walk and live in disappointment? Some people have been disappointed in some things for years, and you need to get over it. Because that disappointment's not taking you anywhere but downhill. So when we get disappointed in people, understand that the Word of God is going to work in their life also. You're not the only one that gets the promises of God. So when God says, I have a plan for your life, He's got a plan for that other person's life too. And He will bring them to a place where they need to be. Go with me now to John chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 27. John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Many times when we choose disappointment instead of just forgiveness, or instead of just looking past it, overlooking the offense or overlooking the disappointment, the first thing to go is your peace. Is your peace. Now, that's a problem, because the Word said that not only did He leave us peace, but He gave us His peace. I'm going to read it to you again. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. So we not only have been left peace, but we've been given the peace of God. So when we walk around without our peace, you don't need to glorify the devil and be like, oh, that mean old devil, he stole my peace. No, baby, you gave it up. The devil gets a lot of credit that he doesn't deserve. And we glorify him in so many ways that we're not even aware of. But the Word says, my peace I give you. And then He tells us how He gave it to us. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. There's a whole lot of power in what we let. What do you let happen in your life? See, the Word says, do not let your heart be troubled. That's a tall order. How do we not let it? You have a conversation with it and you tell it what it's going to do. Why? Because the Word of God also says that the heart is deceitful, and above all, who can know it? My heart has told me a lot of things that were not correct. A lot of people say, well, follow your heart. That's the dumbest advice ever. Don't follow that thing because that thing's going to get you in trouble. Okay? But the word says, do not let your heart be troubled. What does that tell us, Kayla? That our heart has the potential to be troubled many times through a lifetime. So because we know that, and because the word of God has warned us about how our heart can be, we have to get ahead of it. Now, I come from a pastor's home, been raised in the ministry my entire life. We have never in our whole life, and we don't really want to. I think it would be really weird at this point. But we never had a Christmas or a Thanksgiving dinner where it was just our family, our immediate blood family. We've had lots of people around the dinner table over my 39, 38 years of living. But I remember one specific holiday, and I was thinking about this last night, and I started laughing because God's brought us a long way. But Dad invited this person over to our house. It was a woman. And we all knew that she stole stuff. This has been years ago. Casey's back there shaking her head. We all knew she stole stuff, Missy. How many of you have ever been around somebody that was known for stealing stuff? Come on, now don't act like we're all just saints. Okay, so we know what we're going to do. We're going to put our purse up, right? We're going to get everything we think could be a potential, and we're going to stockpile that thing somewhere else. We're going to take away that temptation. That hide the silver, hide the jewelry, we're going to hide this stuff. I remember all the women, when we heard that this person was coming, Diana, all of us women, it was like a women's go-to. We all said, we all got our purses. And we piled the purses on top of Mom and Dad's bedroom, and they shut and locked that door. All of us. And back in the day especially, we used to have lots of people over our house for Thanksgiving dinners. And I think about that now, and I'm grateful for that because I think it would be weird now at this point to just have our own family because it'd just be strange for me. Anyhow, if you know that your heart has the potential to be troubled and it also has the potential to be deceitful, you need to handle that heart accordingly. Just like how you'd handle somebody if you invited them to their house and you knew that they had the potential to steal something. You'd put your stuff up. Well, when you go in a situation in your life and you know that your heart could be troubled over that and that you could get into some slump over that, you need to protect your heart and guard your heart and get your heart and tell your heart that it's going to do this, this, and this, and it's not going to do the other. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 31 through 32. Do you really trust God with the person that you've become disappointed in? Do you trust God with them? Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to be in the King James Version. Let, there we are again. We just read where it says, do not let your heart be troubled. And now we are once again saying, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. What do we do with disappointment? We let it be put away from us. How do we do that? You stand on the word. you realize that the same God that's dealt with you for your whole life and you've been a stinker has the ability to deal with that other person that you've become disappointed in. Let that disappointment be put away from you. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, how does God forgive us? I don't know how he's forgiven you, but I can speak for my life. Miss Fran, when he forgave me, he stopped bringing it up. And he also stopped recalling the details of what it was I did. Sometimes we magnify the disappointment because we simply won't shut up and stop talking about it. We've made a mountain out of a molehill many, many times. And I want to tell you something about most people. Most people did not set it out in their heart to disappoint you. They didn't just wake up one day, Russell, and say, I'm going to make sure that I disappoint Russell and Penny. Miss Kayla, you can take those youth. If you're going to serve, if you're a teenager and you're going to serve, I'm going to ask you to quietly go back there with Kayla. But most of the time, Miss Rocky, when we're disappointed by somebody and we're so hurt by them and we're so upset at them, they did not set it out in their heart to disappoint and hurt us. Have you ever disappointed somebody? And you felt the weight of that and you felt awful about it. Here's what I can say. I've been disappointed and I've been a disappointment. And what I know about when I've disappointed somebody is I did not set it out in my heart to be that disappointment to them. But in the middle of trying to work out my own salvation and my own life and my own problems and my own circumstances, Alyssa, I've disappointed many. And so when we flip that around and we take somebody and they've disappointed us or they've hurt us, what you need to understand about that person is they probably didn't do that to you on purpose. They're going through something that you probably know nothing about. I remember a couple years ago, I was sitting right here, and I was fixing to preach, and I just started crying because I was so disappointed in somebody. And I just remember thinking, I'm not even sure I can preach. I'm just so disappointed. And I got up here, and I couldn't even talk, and I said, guys, you're going to have to pray for me that I can get through this message because right now I'm just so disappointed. I felt like somebody had just taken a pin and popped my little bubble, and I was just deflating as I walked up there. Well, a couple days later, that person called me. They were in there, and I couldn't even hide it. See, we got to get our disappointment under control because many of us, we're not good fakers. So when we're disappointed in them, they know it. And here's what people do. When they know you're disappointed, most people are going to distance themselves from you and they're going to back up from you because they don't want to cause you any further pain that they already have. That's why it's important that you work through the disappointment, because you don't want to push away the people, because most of the time the people you're disappointed in, they're the ones you love the most. And you don't want your life to not have them in it, even if you are disappointed in them. This person called me, and I could hear the crack in their voice, and he said, Pastor, I don't want to be a disappointment to you, and I never set out to disappoint you. I'm just going through so much stuff, and I'm just trying to figure it out. And you know, Rocky, after that, I was looking out my window, and God began to speak to me. And he said, Kelly, you're going to have to get over that disappointment that you've got in that person, because I don't want you grieved over that. You've got to trust the people that you're, trust God with those people that you're disappointed in. God has a plan for their life. It's a good plan, and it's not a bad plan. Many times we're upset with people because they did not live out the plan that we had for them. And many times, I've said this in so many sermons, I've said one of the things that we all have to grieve over often is the idea of how we thought our life was going to be. Have you ever had to do that? You just had something in your mind and you just knew life was going to be such and such, and then it didn't turn out that way, and you were just, you had to grieve that, and you had to work through the fact that it wasn't nothing like what you thought it was going to be. Sometimes, and I will say, sometimes adult parents do that so much with their kids, so much with their grown kids. We get an idea of what we feel like somebody's supposed to do, and when they don't do it, we're just ticked. You got to grieve the idea of what you thought someone else's life was supposed to be. And you've got to understand that at the end of the day, God the Father has got that person in the palm of his hand. He's not going to let them go, but sometimes you're going to have to let go of what you thought was supposed to happen with their life. I don't like to talk about this, but I believe that as a requirement in my life, I have to preach, Tanya, and I have to preach things out of my life that I'm embarrassed and ashamed of. One of those things is my divorce. And I remember when I went through that, the look on my parents' face week after week after week after week, and it was because they felt responsible for the catastrophe that went on in my life. You got that about, you got it, Brother Charlie? All right. Make sure that bottle's crunched. But you can't stay disappointed about what happened in someone else's life, because you're gonna have to trust God with them. Amen. And you're going to have to trust God Amen. With them people that you love the most. Great. And have an open mind that God's ways are higher than yours. And I could tell when my parents had worked through that, because I remember I had to have a conversation with them, and I said with tears in my eyes and grief in my heart, I said, y'all were not responsible for this. I know you're disappointed. I know that you didn't want this for me, but here we are. Here we are. I could tell when Dad had worked some things out in his heart and his mind. One day he walked up to me and he had a big smile on his face. He said, well, Kel, here's what I know. Ain't nobody can preach to a bunch of divorced people better than a divorced pastor. Now, I know that's probably crude, and we don't like to think of it, but I guarantee you, and I'm not going to do this, but if I said, raise your hand if you've ever been divorced, over 90% of the church would have to raise their hand. Now, I'm not going to do that because, see, I don't like to glorify catastrophe. But what I can say is this right here. God will use the disappointing thing if you'll let him. He'll use that. And he'll turn it around for your good, their good, everybody's good. Sometimes we're so disappointed, we think, how could anything good come out of this? Give God some time. Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 7 through 8. As I was praying last night, I believe God told me something really powerful about disappointment, and I wrote it down, and it said, disappointment is a distraction. Disappointment is a distraction. What is it distracting from? Your prayer life. Your prayer life. So many times we're praying silly prayers up to God about the people that we're disappointed in, when really all that's needed is God work in their life. I don't care how you do it. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 17, we're going to look at verse 7. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Do you trust God? Do you trust Him when you're disappointed? So you're blessed just for when you decide to trust God. There's a blessing in simply saying, God, I trust you, and living that trust out with Him. Whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green, and it has no worries in a year of doubt or a year of drought, and never, never, never fails to bear fruit. We are all bearing fruit. It's either good fruit or it's bad fruit. But I can tell you this, if you want to stay in a state of disappointment, the fruit that you're going to be putting out is going to be soured up. Do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. The other day, I had to put into perspective, is this a couple that's irritated with how we're doing things? Or is this all of Logan County? And it's not all Logan County. It's two people. You have to decide, how big am I going to let this disappointment grow? Am I going to let it grow to where everybody in the family, everybody at my work, everybody, they all know I'm disappointed and irritated with this person, and I'm going to make everybody else feel uncomfortable because there's this disappointment there between us? You have to decide how far you're going to let that go. But blessed is the man whose trust is in God. If you really are that saved and you really love God and you really trust God, then you do exactly what Hannah did with her son. Lord, he's yours. God, this person, I give them over to you right now. And God, I'm going to believe Jeremiah 29 and 11 for them. God, you know the plans that you have for them. You know exactly what you're doing with them. Help me to not interfere with that plan. What would happen if Jonah's mom would have just gone and tried to dig him out of that fish, that whale? So you can't go running after everything that you want to fix. And every time you get disappointed, you can't fix it for everybody.
Thank you, God.
Sometimes we're so disappointed for people and we want to help them, but some of them getting to a place where they never are in that place again is them having to work it out. There's stuff that we've had to watch people work out, but Billy, they never were there again. I've told my dad before, Dad, I've got a problem with these people, and that problem is between me and them. Please do not get up in the middle of it, because I have got to learn this, or you're going to take an experience away from me that I'm going to have to learn later, and I want to get it now.
Hallelujah.
I want to get it now. I will tell you a funny story about him, though. I love my dad, and we've always been very, very close. And there was this guy. We were working the food one time. My dad can be straight-up gangster when he has to be. It's always been a myth in the town and where I went to school. Is he really in the mafia? I would just say I have no idea. He may be. There was this guy, Tyler. He was in Scranton, and when he showed up, he had a major attitude. You would not have been able to deal with him. He was a stinker. And this guy, Jim, carried his gun with him, and it was exposed. And it made everybody uncomfortable. We were all thinking, is this some crazy person? He's just about to shoot us or something? Well, I'm going to tell you, I got a big mouth, and I am a hot-blooded Italian Puerto Rican woman at the end of the day. And me and this guy, Tanya, we got into it. I didn't care if he had a gun on or not. I thought, if I go out, I'm going out right here, right in the middle of this food thing. And then I went trotting over there to Dad, and then I started talking to Dad about this guy. I'll tell him not to get in my stuff, and then I'll drag him in it. And I said, what kind of a person brings a gun and has it there and all this stuff? And I was really making a big deal about it. I'm very dramatic. Well, then I didn't think nothing else about it. Well, Dad saw him pumping gas a couple days later. He just pulls up in there and starts talking to the guy about why the guy felt it was necessary to bring the gun to the food bank. Well, then the guy starts talking bad about some little blonde-headed chick. And what a smart mouth she had on her. He said, oh, I know it. That's my baby daughter. And do not do that to her again. Well, that guy, he ain't come back. But let me tell you something. For the most part, when it comes to people you're disappointed in or when it comes to your grown kids, you got to let them figure some things out. Put them under prayer. Clothe them in prayer. But don't stand in the way of them and God. Last place for me, Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. When you really get to that point of disappointment and frustration with others, this is a good verse for you to pray over their life. Lord, I thank you, and God, I am confident of this one thing concerning this person, that God, the thing that you started in them, you're going to complete it. We serve a God of completion. He will complete the thing that he started. He will complete it in you. He will complete it in them. He will complete it so everybody in the whole situation knows that that was a God thing. When you want to be frustrated, pray over them. God, I thank you that you're bringing that to a completion with them. God, you're bringing them to the other side of that. And I want to put one last thing inside of us. Many, many times, like I said, we're disappointed in people because they haven't done what we thought they should do. First year of my pastoring, I stayed up all night one night, and I was crying over a couple in our church, and I was crying and I was praying all night long. And I did all of that in vain because of this one fact of the matter. I kept crying to God. I kept praying to God, Lord, what's going on with these people? You know, what? I just want to see their lives, you know, get better and all this stuff. And God very clearly spoke to me. He said, Kelly, you are more concerned with their life turning out good than they are. And sometimes, folks, we are so disappointed in others, we're more disappointed about their situation than they are. And you can't make anybody do different. We cannot make them. So stop getting yourself in a rut over wanting something so bad that it's messing with you. Let God handle them. How do we do that? We give them over to God. God, you're going to complete this work that you've created in this person. You're going to bring it to completion. Lord, I know that you've got a plan for them. So God, I thank you for your plan. I thank you for your plan. Y'all stand to your feet this morning. Now, one of the things that we are going to do, two different things. We are going to let the elderly go first. I ask that we fill up this area. So when I say fill up, don't space out with the chairs. Just kind of fill it up first. And here in a second, I'm going to have Dad pray over the food. But the way that we're going to do it is we're going to go by the oldest first. So let's say that somebody's married and one of them's 90 and one of them's 80. They're both going to go back there together. I don't want to split your family up so you can't sit with them. If I say, okay, all the 90-year-olds, go back there. If you got a grandkid, take your grandkid. If you've got your son and daughter or whomever, the whole family gets to go. I have no desire to split your family up to where you're all sitting in different parts of the building, but go along with them and sit back there. The kids are going to do a wonderful job. If you need something, tell whichever teenager is working your table. And Dad, why don't you pray over lunch?
Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, this beautiful Super Bowl Sunday. Lord, it's a day of celebration and excitement in our nation. And Lord, we thank you for this time we can be together in this beautiful facility and we can break bread together. Lord, I just ask that you would bless every meal here today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Okay, so there is no service this evening. And the kids are going to